Thursday. Today is July the 11th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, the Supreme Court of the United States is now out of session for the summer, but there were a lot of decisions they handed down before they left. One of those could have a large impact on potential lawsuits against agriculture as it deals with the statute of limitations. We'll be back to take a look at what that could mean after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants. Simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
A recent Supreme Court decision has the potential to open the door for more environmental lawsuits, making agricultural headlines today as we look. A cottage industry run by non-governmental organizations to sue federal agencies, which would include the U.S. EPA, may be getting much larger after the Supreme Court, about a week ago, issued a ruling in what seems to be an otherwise obscure case. Now, the court reversed a previously well-settled precedent that the six-year statute of limitations starts to run for the date federal regulations became effective. The Supreme Court's decision in Corner Post Incorporated versus the Federal Reserve now interprets that six-year statute of limitations as beginning to run when a named plaintiff suffers the harm alleged in a lawsuit even decades after federal regulations are finalized. Brooks Dreyer, staff attorney in the Center for Agriculture and Shale Law at Penn State University, said the ruling opens the door even wider for environmental groups and others to continue suing the EPA and other agencies by continuing to find new plaintiffs. Now, as an example, Dreyer said the court's ruling could affect federal permits for concentrated animal feeding operations, or CAFOs, that distinction made in EPA regulations not to require national pollution discharge elimination systems, the NPDES, those permits for so-called small CAFOs, that was made far more than 6 years ago. And since the Corner Post decision, he said that the NGO wishing to impose a rule that all animal production facilities that do not produce their own feed must obtain that NPDES permit, no matter how small they are, simply needs to arrange for a new plaintiff. So, for example, a new plaintiff could be someone who moved into a watershed of an NPDES-exempt farm in the past 6 years who would be alleged to have suffered harm from such an exemption. Now, with regards to the EPA action, filing the federal courts with such litigation is a veritable cottage industry with multiple NGOs devoted to little else. Common legal grounds alleged are that the regulation violates provisions of the Administrative Procedures Act, articulating the process and parameters for legally promulgating regulations, or that regulations go beyond the legal scope of the law authorizing their issuance. Now, the Corner Post Inc. operates a truck stop and a convenience store in North Dakota. The company joined a lawsuit under the Administrative Procedures Act in 2021 against the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System. The Corner Post decision, in essence, creates a system whereby there is no longer any finality to how a law is implemented, and any portion of federal regulation can be legally challenged at any time, they said, simply by arranging for a newly named plaintiff. Now, this means provisions of the regulation can be challenged decades after they've been promulgated and after years of reliance by regulated industries on the predictability and precedent set by the regulations that have been on the books for years. So the bottom line is this new ruling could be a problem for agriculture across the board, regardless of size or scale. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. Well, the USDA recently announced an expansion of one of its emergency disaster assistance programs in efforts to assist dairy growers impacted by the H5N1 virus. USDA's Rod Bain has more.
The latest USDA effort to provide support to dairy producers with herds impacted by the H5N1 virus involves an updated version of USDA's Emergency Assistance for Livestock, Honeybees, and Farm-Raised Fish program.
designed now to provide assistance to dairy producers who are incurring milk losses as a result of H5N1.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack recently explained the update in a visit with reporters, an update now published in the Federal Register.
Under the program, as we've designed it, farmers will receive payments at a 90% coverage of lost production, retroactive to the date in March of 2024 of their first positive herd.
Eligibility requirements for milk loss assistance under ELAP include:
the adult dairy cow must be the following. Must be part of a herd that has had a confirmed positive H5N1 test from the National Veterinary Services Laboratory. Must have been initially removed from commercial milk production during the 14-day time period before the sample collection date for the positive H5N1 test date, through 120 days after the sample collection date for the positive test. To be milk producing, currently lactating, and maintained for commercial milk production on the beginning date of the eligible loss condition. Now, producers must also have written in the owned cash leads purchased or having been a contract grower of eligible adult dairy cows for at least 60 days before the beginning of the production loss to essentially participate in this program. And a coverage is also going to be provided on a per-cow basis for a period of up to 4 weeks per cow.
Other details within the Federal Register notice on expanded ELAP include needed documentation and payment calculations. Applications will be accepted through local Farm Service Agency offices through January 30th of next year. Secretary Vilsack adds that the coverage under ELAP
is going to build on the efforts that we've made to ensure that we're limiting the spread of the virus as it's detected. While dairy cows impacted and affected with H5N1 generally recover after a few weeks and there's little mortality associated with this disease, it does dramatically limit milk production for a period of time, which obviously causes economic loss for producers with affected premises. And for that reason, we've chosen to support farmers with the ELAP program to offset those losses.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.